Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, reading verses 1 to 11. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we begin to look at the book of Acts, we might think that it's not of that great theological import for the church. Because, in a sense, it's not like, you know, the Old Testament and the prophets, or the wisdom literature, or the first five books of the Bible, or even in the New Testament, like Romans or the general epistles, full of doctrine. And so it's kind of a little history about what happened, how the churches began to grow and spread. But such would be a grave mistake. It would be a grave mistake to view the book of Acts in that way. It's an extremely important book. And especially in this generation, but really in all generations. Because the whole thought in terms of the people of God, in terms of what are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be doing it? What plan are we supposed to be following? I mean, there's such a broad spectrum as far as that is concerned. When you look at the general church and how people and churches view what their mission is and how they are to go about it, there's such a diversity. And yet here God gives us a wonderful book in which not only the commission that Christ gave to the church, but also how it was done. How it was done. What is genuine Christianity in terms of our lives, and also genuine Christianity in terms of how it is practiced in the churches and how it is taken to the world as God, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I mean, surely that is at the heart of every church, to know what we're about, how we're to go about it, what are we supposed to be doing? Because if we don't have that clear, then people make their own plans up. They make their own agendas up. and this confusion. And so the book of Acts, as I said, is extremely important for us to read, for us to think about. This is how Christianity manifested itself after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And if we want to be encouraged further, then let it be understood that this genuine Christianity, with all its flaws in terms of people and the mistakes and the stumbles, in very short order, they turn the world upside down. I mean, the modern church is besotted with success, whatever that means to them. And so they try all kinds of things, new and wonderful things, to attract people, as though that's going to make them successful. Or as some of their names suggest the focus, church growth. That's what they're interested in. Anything that makes the church grow. Well, will they deny the fact that the book of Acts teaches us how local, small, not mega churches, small churches turned the known world upside down? I mean, that should motivate us, shouldn't it? I mean, that should encourage us to say, you know, let's stop looking at other churches and try and copy their patterns. I mean, that's the way they are. These churches get mega churches, and then they say, well, let me tell you how we did it. One time in my ministry, we were given the opportunity to travel down to California. We weren't in California at that point. To travel down to California, expenses paid, and where were they inviting us to go? None other than Crystal Cathedral. This is where you're going to learn. I want to help you with your churches, how to grow. And I'm thinking, I mean, I wouldn't be confident to say that he preaches the gospel. Why would I go down there? But it's this idea that technique does it. I mean, not that they thought he was, you know, conservative, but technique does it. Like technique can be divorced from the message. And so we respectfully declined. Although I guess I could have gone to Disneyland, but no. We didn't go. But here it is. Why? I mean, why would we be doing that? If we understood the book of Acts, why would a denomination be looking to do that? I mean, doesn't it show that they don't know what they were doing? They didn't think it was sufficient what God's word provides, and we need to go and be educated on how to do it? Now, this is a very important book, as, of course, all the books of the Scriptures. Acts. This is the way church acted. These are acts of God himself. God carries on his purposes through the church. We can look at it as acts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if God the Father is of the creation of the heavens and the earth and election before the creation of the world, and the Son accomplishes that salvation by his sacrifice on the cross, then certainly the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier, the builder of the church. And hence we have Pentecost at the beginning. We can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. No, it's not just us on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that is working in us and using us as instruments in his hands. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ makes that very important point, that they have to remain in Jerusalem. They can't start this mission that they've given them until the Holy Spirit is given, as he had already promised, as John the Baptist has spoken about. The one that comes after me is greater than I. And the mission is there, isn't it? We're to go into all the world. We're not lost. We don't know what to do. Christ has told us what to do. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our task. to look after God's people, to equip them through the church for this task, to bring Christ to all the world in our life and in the words that we say. And yes, there are going to be struggles. We're not perfect people. We're not perfect churches. Neither were they. We only have to look at the New Testament and the general epistles to understand, boy, things weren't going so smoothly for them. I mean, God doesn't expect a perfect church, and only then can we do anything for the Lord. Otherwise, nothing would have happened in the New Testament. I mean, they had infighting. I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos. They had to have a council because they had divisions. Paul and Peter fell out. Paul and Barnabas fell out. And look at the churches, Corinthian church. Struggles that they had. But nevertheless, they followed what this book describes. And through it, they turned the world upside down. People of God, let us be confident about being a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow what God has provided for us, taught us, shown us in terms of practice, then we should be confident that we're doing what God wants us to do. And whatever struggles and obstacles and stumbles we have along the way, that's not going to stop God accomplishing his purposes as he did. As he did in the New Testament. So we're to have confidence in God's word. We're to follow it and not be discouraged by those that think they can make it more successful. I mean, they don't necessarily say more successful. They always give the idea that you're doing nothing at all and you need to do this and then you will be successful. No. The church has always been successful because Christ has worked through the church. Yes, they've had their problems. Yes, they've had their struggles. But Christ is building his church. And he does it every day. The kingdom of God is growing every day. It's on a winning track, and it always will be, because Christ will accomplish his purposes. But it's going to be through us, through churches, just like ours. There's many all over the world, small churches, insignificant. People don't pay much attention to them. But I'm telling you, that's where the kingdom of God is spreading. And we need to be confident of that and not think less of ourselves, that we're only small. And there are other big organizations, never mind just churches, big organizations, and that they dwarf us. No. So what does this book tell us? Well, first of all, as the opening makes clear, genuine Christianity is all about a person. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole focus of Luke's two books, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Acts, is all about what Jesus did and taught. What he did and what he taught them. That's what our mission is. To go into all the world and tell people about a person, about the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's not about our organization. It's not about what particular purpose we have in our local church. No, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we want them to hear and come to know. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul wanted. He wanted to know Christ. Not just about Christ. He wanted to know him. He wanted a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Apostle Paul had an attitude in terms of, not that he had an attitude, but if he had the idea that he wanted, that he was betrothing the people in the church to Christ, and that was his main purpose, then that ought to be our purpose. We're not to draw people to ourselves. We're not to say, look how good we are, you have a wonderful time in our midst. I hope they do. But it's all about, come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go away from us, or we are removed, you knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is all you need. That's who you need. We can't take care of people all of their life. No, but when we bring them to Christ, he will take care of them all of their life, no matter what happens. And that's what the focus is. And that's why what Luke writes in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts to this person, Theophilus, is all that he needed. What Jesus did and what he taught. And if you understand those things, then you will have all that you need for life and godliness. You'll have that peace that passes all understanding. And the Lord Jesus Christ clearly prepared his disciples for what transpires in the book of Acts. And he said, and he says this, that this was done, Christ was teaching them all of this, until the day he was taken up, after he instructed through the Holy Spirit the apostles whom he had chosen. We don't have to go anywhere, to any conference, to learn how to do these things. The Lord Jesus Christ already did that to his church. The 40 days in which he appeared to the disciples, certainly that for them to be convinced that he was resurrected, that's for sure. But it wasn't only that. But he instructed them, he taught them, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, what they were going to do after he went from their presence, after he would be resurrected and take his place at the right hand of his Father. No, he laid out the plan for them. As I said again, not that they were perfect recipients in terms of their minds. I mean, they didn't get it straight away. And so Jesus is telling them all of these things and they're misconstruing them so that when he says, is going to be ascending into heaven, they ask, well, you know, what about this kingdom? I thought you were going to establish a kingdom. I mean, like, where is it? And the Lord Jesus Christ is like, you know, it's like a student at the end of the course saying, you know, I don't really get it. Well, what don't you get? Well, everything. I mean, he's about to go up and he's been teaching about the kingdom and they don't understand. And so he has to say it again. Well, wait. You're not going to be on your own. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But understand this. The ascension, that here Jesus is being taken up into heaven, bodily taken up. I mean, that impresses upon the church that it's up to us. We're the instruments. Not going to do it in our own strength, in our own wisdom, of course, but we're the instruments. He's going to build his church. That the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. But he's going to use us. And they physically saw the Lord Jesus Christ rise into heaven. Into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is in control. In control of us and in certainly in control of the world. But he is directing everything. He is involved in everything. It's not our plan to unfold and do it in our own strength and wisdom. No, he is doing it. And he's doing it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us. And so we have all that we need. The Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, not just leaders, but each and every one of us. and through the avenue of the church and all that God has given us about that. And we have the disciples, of course, the apostles, that were to be the foundation in terms of their part in receiving God's revelation in terms of the New Testament. That's what happened. God provided the New Testament in terms of the Gospels, the Epistles, all the way to Revelation. God provided us a solid foundation. So that now we have the Old and the New Testament as a foundation of the church. And the apostles, of course, were very much part of that through the working of God's Holy Spirit to provide the church with a solid foundation. This is the kingdom of God that Christ wants us to pursue, wants to spread. And so the Gospels are full of that. To them, he says, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. So we look at this book, and of course all the rest of them, to understand what it is that we're to be about, so that we have a clear path and we have confidence in what we're doing and we don't get intimidated by others as though we were not doing anything at all, so that we might just pack up and join up with them. No. We're to continue what God has instructed us out of your word, out of his word, and shown us in terms of practice in the scriptures, in the books like Acts itself. And so he said, while he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise my Father made, of which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that was, of course, in a few days that would happen. At first they were in Galilee. He told them to go to Galilee where they would see him. But now he instructs them to go to Jerusalem and remain there. There they would reap the benefits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promised Holy Spirit would come upon them. They would have all that they need to pursue this wonderful plan that God has made. And so I come back to say again, God has given us through this book prescription of how it is that we're to continue presenting the gospel, speaking about salvation, which is about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main truth that we have to bring to the world around us. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're to tell them about him. I mean, if people go to church and they never hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, then isn't it a useless exercise? I mean, we can tell them morals. Oh, you have to live this way. You should live that way. You should live this. Here's how you fix the family. Here's how you fix your marriage. Here's how you are successful in life. I mean, how many churches do we not have like that? We'll heal your diseases. But if you don't tell them about Christ, you've left out the most important thing of all. Knowing him, they have everything that they need. Knowing him and trusting in him, they can take on the devil himself. But have everything else fixed in their life without the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to last for a moment. They're just going to fall into some other trap. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Telling them everything that he did. There's salvation for you. Everything that he did. We're to tell about his birth. We're to tell about his ministry. We're to tell about all the things that he did. And we're to tell them about the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. That's what they need to know. There's the gospels for you. that they understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's a purpose to us telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that they might know that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of the living God. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's who they need to understand that he is. Not just about him. Not that he just that he did miracles. He healed people. No. These were all things that confirmed beyond doubt what the gospel writers are trying to bring out and present. I mean, they could have written many, many more things about him. It's not a biography about the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. It's all the information they want people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they will come to that glorious conclusion. This is the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. They ought to understand that if they walk away and ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, they let go of any hope that there is. They will be without God and without hope. That he's the only way that there is. We have to get that message across. That's what the world needs. But not only that, they need to know everything that he taught them. Because even if we come to understand who he is, and then we don't understand what it is that he wants us to do, we're going to go off on our own mission, wander through life aimlessly, not doing what we're supposed to be doing, not being his servants and faithful witnesses in the world that he wants us to go to. Then we're wasting our time. We're just treading water. Now we're to tell them about all that he did, but all that he taught. So that in our own personal life, we will be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in terms of our interaction with the world, we will be those that bring the gospel and spread this wonderful kingdom from shore to shore. As I said, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to have problems. So did the churches in the New Testament. All kinds of issues. I mean, when you start reading through the New Testament, you think, how did these people achieve anything? I mean, look at the Corinthian church. I mean, what a mess that was. And the other churches, what an onslaught, what difficulties they had. But when they fix their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, when they stick to their first love and obey him, then people of God, God is pleased with us and his purposes are accomplished through us by his strength, by his word, and by his Holy Spirit. So this book will open up for us what true Christianity is as it operates in local churches and the impact that it has on the world around us. People of God, let us be sure of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Let us be sure of what he taught. Let us follow the directions that he gave as they are shown to us in the book of Acts and indeed throughout the rest of the New Testament. Let's not be confused by the world all around us. No, let us be faithful to him. And let us be confident that he will accomplish his good purposes even through us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have chosen us and not the most influential, not the most noble, not the richest, not the strongest, not the wisest. But nevertheless, you have chosen us. And our Father in heaven, we are eternally grateful. But our Father in heaven, we want to be used, useful to you. And so, our Father, we pray that we might be what you have called us to be, and that is instruments of righteousness but in your hands. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you've granted to us your scriptures that show us that in action, in ordinary churches, in ordinary people, as we are. And our Father in heaven, in this complicated world in which we live, that puts its trust in power, that we might truly follow your instructions and see your blessing as you spread your wonderful kingdom throughout the whole world. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the many, many, many local churches all around this world that people do not probably pay much attention to. But nevertheless, they have your Holy Spirit. They have your word. They believe in your Son. And they are working for your wonderful kingdom. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless our studies in this book, and may it make us, in your hands, instruments of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 654.